Now, never mind, Dennis, there's another storm brewing here for the next hour or so. 51551 if you want to get your spake. And it seems no coalition on the left, no Sinn Féin Fianna Fáil deal. So who can break this post-election checkmate? Will the Vote for Change finally deliver a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government? And is that the will of the people? Well, to discuss all of that, we have Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin, Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Helen McIntyre of Fine Gael, Mick Barry of Solidarity and the Socialist Party TD, and Gary Murphy, who's Professor of Politics at the DCU School of Law and Government. 51551, as I say, if you want to get in contact with us, or on email saturday@rte.ie. Well, last week, they were all telling us, the politicians, the people have spoken. We're still trying to figure out what the hell you have said. But Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, seriously, a coalition with Fine Gael?
Well, I think firstly, it's actually, it feels like a lot longer than a week since the general. It has only been that, and this will be complicated. We live in a parliamentary democracy. There's basically probably going to be 8 different groupings within the new Dáil when it convenes on Thursday. So we've been very clear. Our position during the election was very clear in relation to not doing a deal with Sinn Féin. And our parliamentary party met earlier in the week, and we had a very clear decision there in relation to the mandate that would be given to our negotiating team, which is to talk to all other parties.
Michal, you couldn't put Fine Gael back in, after all you've
said. It's not a question.
Are you ruling them out?
Anything is possible. And actually, anything is possible right
except
now.
Except Sinn Féin, is it?
No. Cormac, if anything is possible, including another general election. But we have to respect the fact, and I respect the mandate that all parties receive and independents receive, but I've got to respect the mandate that my own party received. And I think others need to do that too. And we were very clear on what our position would be. What we're interested in, though, is building alliances based on policy and on a radical policy for change in the area of housing, climate change and health.
So you're saying a radical policy would be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Well, actually,
Gary
no,
Murphy,
but don't be so dismissive. Sorry, Cormac.
Split Fianna Fáil.
I'll just tell you, it won't split Fianna Fáil because I'm in Fianna Fáil.
So is Eamon O'Keefe.
Well, I'm telling you, I was at the parliamentary party meeting. And Gary,
I spoke to an awful lot of people now who were at that.
Cormac,
did anyone speak out against it then?
I was there. Okay,
yeah, well, if you want to do this, Dan.
Well, I do. I do. Well, in fairness, you should have put the question to me. So let me just conclude on one thing.
Did anyone speak out against it?
We're interested in putting a policy agenda that is a radical agenda to deal with the issues that people want around housing, climate change, health, issues such as that. In relation, our party was very clear in the decision we took at a Democratic parliamentary party meeting that happened 4.5 hours. A lot of discussions at it, but there was near unanimity toward the end on our position.
Who spoke out against it?
I'm not going into the details.
How many people spoke out against it?
Very, 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 very few. And you're talking single digits, and I'm not going into detail. It's unfair because they're private meetings. What I'm telling you is
who do you believe?
I'm telling you the truth because you asked me a question. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you the truth.
Who do you believe then? Do you believe Eamon O'Keefe on one side, who said that there are an awful lot of people, it would split the party, and there are an awful lot of people who are quiet about it now, holding their powder? Or do you believe near unanimity, Dara O'Brien?
I believe near unanimity rather than full unanimity, and I tend to believe Dara rather than Eamon O'Keefe, who, you know, has for a long time been dissatisfied with the leadership of Micheál Martin. I think there's no secret that since he didn't win the leadership himself in 2011, he has been in Galway West disaffected. And I think that was the manifestation of it yesterday. But Fianna Fáil are in a very difficult position. I can't see a scenario where there is a government without Fianna Fáil in it, whether that's with Fine Gael and then either the Greens or the Social Democrats, or Fianna Fáil with Sinn Féin and then the Greens or the Social Democrats as well, because we know the electorate haven't given us any two parties together, which would have made things rather, you know, more clear-cut and binary, although I do think the third party gives a buffer to Micheál Martin. In other words, it's not Fianna Fáil going in with either of their two great opponents, Fine Gael or Sinn Féin. It's Fianna Fáil and somebody else going in with it. And
what's the primary consideration, I wonder? Is Fianna Fáil acting on behalf of or in the interests of Fianna Fáil or the country, or is it Micheál Martin? Leading the charge here to be Taoiseach.
But it's acting on the 22.5% of the people who voted for it. I mean, there's a lot of talk about mandates and whatnot. In the PRS-TV system, ever since Fianna Fáil collapsed in 2011, this is sort of the inevitability of a result where you'd get close close numbers in the 20s. Now, we didn't expect the Sinn Féin surge, and good for them. But I think that's just what PRS-TV does. It tends to give complicated results, which then need negotiation afterwards. And I think this is what people like Eamon O'Queeve are missing, which is very important, is that the people have spoken. Would they speak differently in 6 months? They might, but they mightn't speak that differently.
But hang on. Bertie Ahern said that if you calculate the will of the people, really, based on the percentage of the vote, and if Sinn Féin ran the right amount of candidates, you could have 48 Sinn Féin TDs.
Well, Louise will know better than anybody else that the idea of Sinn Féin running two candidates in places like, you know, Clare and any of the Kildare constituencies, just ludicrous. She certainly could have run a candidate in Dublin. Mm-hmm. Fingal, certainly Mary Lou herself should probably have run a candidate. David Cullinan, because and these are places where Sinn Féin are historically
what
strong.
What's the will of the people? What is the will of the people?
Well, it was to get rid of Fine Gael. No, it was to get rid of the Fine Gael government as was. Whatever about the confidence and supply part, I don't think anyone can deny, you know, that the people have rejected Fine Gael. They still have 20%, 20-odd%, you know, and they're all, that mandate must be respected. But if we're to say the will of the people is not to have a government, that's what PR STV would give you, and no one is really saying that, I think, Cormac.
Well, what do you think the people are saying, Louise O'Reilly, to ask an obvious question?
Well, I think they haven't changed what they were saying to what they were saying before the election. I was back out canvassing yesterday, and people on the doors were telling me they want to see Sinn Féin in government, they want to see us shape government policy, they want to see us deliver. What they're not doing, and what we tend to do, and I've been on a number of panel shows, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to anyone on them, or indeed hosting them, Cormac, I want to be clear.
I hope not.
But what we're tending to do is to focus on, you know, personalities and this percent and that percent. What people are saying to me, and certainly what they were saying to me yesterday, was, look, we need to get on with the business of building houses. We need to get on with the business of fixing the health service. You know, people are not happy that Sinn Féin would be, with the, given the mandate that we were given and the fact that there was a really clear mood for change.
But sure, you wasted 3 or 4
they're
days going around talking to people on the left when you knew the figures weren't there.
They're not happy that we would be excluded from those discussions simply because it doesn't suit the agenda of the parties formerly known as the Big Two. And I think
do you accept that you're in a checkmate situation here, Sinn Féin, that your momentum has been stalled big time?
No, not at all. We're talking to the smaller parties. We are open to discussions with, as we have said, our position has been actually very, very consistent in advance of the election, all during the campaign and since that. And bearing in mind, as has just been pointed out, this time last week, people were still voting. So, there hasn't been a huge amount of time elapsed. But our position has been very, very clear.
You said no to Fianna Fáil. Yeah. You said you wanted change before the election.
We said we would talk to all parties because we respect the mandate that we were given. And we know that the PRS-TV system can throw up combinations. We all know that a government...
You're making the likes of Mick Barry sick here because
be
you promised before the election.
We want to be part of that decision-making process, and we don't want to be locked out of those negotiations purely and simply because it suits the agenda
You're also talking to Mick Barry and his friends on the left. How ill do you feel when you see Sinn Féin pleading to Fianna Fáil to talk to them?
It's not a case of how I feel. I think it's a case of how the people who gave their votes for change in the election feel. So let that be the starting point. I think a huge feature of this election was ordinary people, young people, voting for what they hoped would be real change on housing, on health, the pension age, climate justice. Okay. That desire for change was underlined by social movements that happened during the election campaign, something that has not been sufficiently commented on. The huge demonstration of the childcare workers, the strike of the teachers, the community employment supervisors yesterday, and so on. Now, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are eyeing up a power grab here. The idea of a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael plus government is something that will turn the stomachs of huge numbers of ordinary people and young people who voted for change.
If that were to happen, do you think the public would, given the way things are playing out over the last week, would accept that that's the only possible government that could be formed?
No, I don't.
So what would happen?
I can see the possibility here of people coming onto the streets.
Very dangerous,
at a certain point in time. Let me just explain what I mean by that. I want to explain what I mean by that, because I've got the comments coming in from Fianna Fáil here, okay?
But what you're putting forward is you're saying that people would protest against a democratically elected government.
Fianna Fáil.
Would you support that?
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael traditionally get 50% plus of the vote in this state. This was a historic election. They were reduced to 43%. People have a right to peacefully, democratically protest. It's a democratic right. Check it up, Dara. It's in our constitution.
Hang on, we just had an election, for God's sake.
It is in the constitution.
We just had a vote in a constitutional republic where people vote.
If that deal were done, if that type of coalition deal were done and people came onto the streets, would you be among them? Would you support that protest?
Yes, I would.
And would you, Louise O'Reilly?
Well, I think, you know, people aren't on the streets at the moment. What they are doing is they're listening to the radio. They want to know if a deal can be done. They want to know if we can actually come to a position whereby we can have a government that starts to deliver for ordinary people and to deliver on the commitments that were given by
okay,
by parties.
But this
like
is crucial because this is something I've discussed with some politicians. Because when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are making public utterances about doing some kind of a deal and they feel they want to be responsible, they don't want to leave the country in the lurch without a government, but they are also worried about this vote for change. And the fear is that if they do, as Mick Barry calls it, a power grab, that people will not accept it. Would you support people demonstrating against that type of
look,
government?
People have demonstrated against governments and against government policies for generations, you know, and I have been among them. Indeed, when Dara's party were last in power, the ICTU mobilised hundreds of thousands of workers against the government and against government policies. I have been on many demonstrations.
Would you protest against the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government?
What we're talking about now is government formation.
You won't.
We're talking about now is government formation.
And the
worst possible scenario for people is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael government that will simply just continue the policies of the last 4 years.
In the heel of the
we
hunt,
need a policy change.
Helen McEntee.
Do you know, if this weren't so serious, it would be somewhat laughable. We have Mick Barry already saying a week after an election that they're going to take to the streets and protest about something that hasn't even happened. Fine Gael as a party hasn't even met as a parliamentary party to decide what happens next. We accept, and I fully accept, we did not win the popular vote. We didn't even win the most amount of seats. We came third. And in the same way that at the last election, the onus was on us. We spent 72 days, Enda Kenny, Simon Coveney, Leo Varadkar, Michael Noonan and many others, 72 days talking to all parties and none, to independents from all sides. We were told by everybody it couldn't happen, it wasn't possible. But we persevered. Sinn Féin and independent parties, left parties, have spent 4 years waging a campaign for change, to vote left, transfer left,
to build
to
houses,
get Fine Gael out,
to
get,
crisis,
let me finish, to get us out.
To get people
and
off
after
trolleys.
4 days, they have thrown the towel in. Now, I'm sorry, you can say the numbers don't add up. If you look at all of the parties on the left, if you look at some of the independents, who actually for the past 4 years have pretty much voted in line with Sinn Féin.
Have you not thrown the towel at them, though? You won't talk to them.
We have always said that. And again, we have to look...
How can you accuse Sinn Féin then of throwing in the towel?
We have double standards here. We have, and I ran on a mandate for a Fine Gael party that would not go into government with Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin run candidates in Northern Ireland for the UK elections on the basis that they will not enter Westminster. And they're now asking us to work on a different rhetoric here. We have ran and Fine Gael ran on the basis
but
that we would not deal with Sinn Féin, not just because of their economic
you
policies,
and Simon
socially
Coveney
and morally as
told
well.
Told the DUP to do a deal with Sinn Féin, to work with them in government. Yet, 100 kilometres down the road, you won't do the same here. Why not?
Because we have always said that we would not, and on this election, that we would not go
but
into government
Helen,
with Sinn Féin.
Respect,
we are in a very
surely,
different situation here in the South than we are
in, a negotiation,
in the North.
Surely in a negotiation, you sit down and you say to Sinn Féin representatives, we could absolutely not accept that, but here's where we could work with you on. And that's how you work out a compromise. But
no,
you refuse to do that.
I do, and I do that on the basis that people who voted for me have voted on the basis, not just because of the economic issues, not just because of the fact that Sinn Féin pledged €22 billion worth of spending when we only have 11, but ethically, morally, socially, economically.
What do you mean
we
ethically?
We are not on the
morally
same page
what does
here.
That mean?
Well, I've said this before. I don't know how Mary Lou McDonald or many members of her party sat by and said nothing when there were accusations and very serious claims made around their party, around kangaroo courts, around child abuse. We've seen people supporting members who have been actively involved and engaged in criminal activity from their own party. I do not agree, nor do my members subscribe to a lot of those. And we also saw in the last week one of their own members saying,
again,
up the RAB,
again,
or IRA.
Well, that's caused an awful lot of discontent.
Again,
Louise,
I'm sorry,
address
this
that.
Is what more, we have seen. More of this nonsense from Fine Gael. You know, I came into this studio, I wanted to talk about the issues that people raise on the doorsteps with me. I want to talk about health, I want to talk about housing. I want to talk about how we can actually deliver the right to retire
so
at the age of 65.
So
what we have done, we haven't thrown any towel in actually, Helen, as it goes, because we are still talking to smaller parties. There have been
have
been those exchanges. And indeed, look, I can add, you can add, right? We don't need an abacus to understand that there are challenges. Of course there are, we know that. But we want our mandate to be respected. We want to be involved and included, because that is what the people who voted for us voted for. We came out, we said we want to make a real and meaningful difference in people's lives. More of the same is not going to work for people. More of the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael coalition will just deliver more homelessness, higher numbers on trolleys, and people work until they're 80 to pay for a children's hospital that is already massively over budget. We want to be at the negotiating table because we want to make
Do you think some people who voted for Sinn Féin would have been shocked when they heard up the Ra and Come Out Ye Black and Tans being sung and we broke the Free State? That type of rhetoric.
Broke the state.
David Cullinan achieved a humongous vote in Waterford, absolutely massive. He did that off the back of decades of hard work by him and other people in Sinn Féin in Waterford. David has, as anyone who will know him, either in the Shannon, on the airwaves, in the Dáil, never once missed an opportunity to stand up for people in Waterford. That was recognised. So David was judged by the people in Waterford on his record of delivery, on the fact that he stands up for people from Waterford, and not on a few seconds at a post-election celebration at 2 o'clock in the morning. He has already apologised if those remarks offended people. He has said he is sorry. No more than that can he do. But what he did do was he went out to people in Waterford. He stood on his record and he received slightly over two quotas.
Does it allow us to see through the keyhole of Sinn Féin, though?
I don't understand what
that. I mean, when David Cullinan is here, he's a skilled performer, no more than any other Sinn Féin frontbench spokesperson. But that was maybe, he thought it was a private session. He thought it wasn't being filmed. I mean, does it give us a viewpoint into the internal culture of Sinn Féin? Up the Ra, we broke the state, we broke the Free State.
At 2 o'clock in the morning after a celebration, an off-the-cuff remark was made.
2 a.m.
And an apology within hours,
issued.
So what that does is it just says, the same as everybody else, people in Sinn Féin, we are normal, ordinary people. And, you know, I mean,
I think most people who saw it, I want to move it on though to really, most people who saw that realised that the mask slipped and that's what happened, okay? But the reality of it now,
they knew it beforehand and they still voted for
Sinn Féin. Yeah, and I respect that.
Over your candidates.
And what I would say to you as well, and we're talking about numbers and arithmetic and what may happen if there was another general election, we had about 20 seats that were lost by very small margins. But I respect the fact that people vote. No one's mandate or no one's vote is more valuable than anyone else's. And this is the narrative over the last few days, which I think has been quite dangerous. Sinn Féin talking about exclusion, about all of these things, about the old boys club. The language that Mary Lou has been using, actually, if someone else used it, would see it as it's quite cheap, it's trite. And actually, if, you know, in relation to this, that there's an agenda against them. No, there's not. What there is there's a parliamentary vote. Hold on now a second. The reality of it is that no party has won this election. No grouping has won this election. We have eight different groups there, and what people want us to do, this is where I would agree with Louise and what Helen has said, is that they want us to get down to talk, to try to deliver a policy agenda that will make the lives better for people. And Fianna Fáil have a responsibility to do that.
2 points.
So we won't sit on the sidelines.
Gary,
we won't sit it out.
Is there an agenda against Sinn Féin here by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to keep them out? Is that what they're playing at, I wonder?
Well, I'm not sure if that's what the agenda is, but that's what is happening. You know, that's a statement of fact, Cormac. I mean, I tend to think that it would actually not be a terrible deal at all if either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil actually spoke to Sinn Féin, sat down for a few hours, and then could say, We tried, and the policy differences are so extreme.
My party leader did yesterday, so extreme and so enormous
that we can't do it. I mean, I think it's incumbent on all parties in the state to try and make a government out of what the people have given them. And I think that is a responsibility that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael should, they are taking it seriously, but I'm not convinced of why they won't at least sit down, you know, for a few hours in an afternoon. And then, you know, to go back to Helen's point, Simon Coveney or someone can come out in the plinth.
There's two points I'd like to make here,
hold on a second, that the 11 billion, it's just too far.
I'll just hear some of the text first of all. 51551, politicians should give Sinn Féin a chance. If we have another election, many will vote exclusively for them, says Frank. Edward in Cork says, the will of the of over 50% of the people is a centrist government. How dare the 24% who voted for Sinn Féin claim that they have been given the right to govern the country? And Gordon says, I voted for change, but I fully realise that Sinn Féin may need to go into government with Fianna Fáil or even Fine Gael again. Governments are not put before us. We cannot vote for a government. Isn't that a plain fact, an observation from Gordon McBarry, that people voted for Sinn Féin, yes, but they realise as well that there might have to be a deal done with Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil afterwards?
Well, as I say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were reduced to 43%, by far and away the lowest vote that they've received in the history of the state.
What percentage
and
did you get, Mick?
There's two observations I'd like to make about the discussion here so far. The first one is, the political establishment massively underestimated the mood among ordinary people coming into this election. And the representatives of the political establishment in this debate, on your show, here again today, Cormac, are doing exactly the same thing. The idea of a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael plus government, and the reaction that that will bring forth in ordinary people, I mean, the idea of the same old, same old, back again after a change election,
honestly,
after people having gone through the experience of huge numbers of people on hospital trolleys, of 500,000 young people being locked out of the house.
Are you going to step up?
And sorry, Cormac, the other point I'd like to make is this.
I said I wanted to make
2 points, so I want to make the other point briefly.
I'll allow you.
I'd like to make the other point briefly,
if I may. But on the first point, are you not proposing anarchy? People vote, the chips fall as they do, and you have to form a government with those chips.
Is he going to go into government with Sinn Féin?
The people who have a majority, who put a government together, you're saying, we don't accept the majority. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
No, I'm not proposing anarchy. Far from it. I'm saying that this was a change election. Huge numbers of people voted for change. And I think the parties that benefited from that vote for change, which is not just Sinn Féin, it's the Green Party as well, need to fully reflect that.
Right.
And I think fully reflecting it means making it very clear, right, and this is a disagreement that I have with Sinn Féin. It's an important disagreement. They should make it clear, absolutely clear, that they are not going to do deals, coalition deals or government arrangements with either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael,
because
they are
the
parties that will block or change.
Well, there'll be no government, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's what Mick would want. He'd want everyone on the streets.
As I said at the beginning, it seems to me Fianna Fáil are central here to government formation. And I think it is incumbent on the three main parties to try and get a scenario where we have some sort of government that can achieve some sort of majority, even if it's in confidence and supply, which Sinn Féin leading it, to give us some stability. An election in a year and a half at least would be preferable than the nonsense of election in 3 or 4 months' time. And I tend to disagree with the person who texted in saying, you know, there'd be this huge surge towards Sinn Féin. There might, but there might not. Elections take on a life of their own. As Louise will know, Sinn Féin were at 9% in nine months ago in the European local elections, and even in December they were under 10% in the opinion polls. Fine Gael were at 36%, Cormac, in July, summer of 2018. That's barely a year and a half, though.
I think we're edging closer and closer to a deal here, but come back to us in 2 minutes and we'll have a coalition put together.
Email saturday@rte.ie. Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
August Brigade, Fáilte at Ash, and with Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin, Helen McIndy of Fine Gael, Gary Murphy of DCU, and Mick Barry of Solidarity, People Before Profit, and Socialist TD. What if it were a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael type arrangement in government, what would the people have to say? Our reporter A.B. Philbin Bowman took to the streets of Dublin to find out which coalition options voters wanted to see delivered.
I think the whole country is shocked at the result.
Do you have any preference on what party should be in government next?
But I care, because I think he's a good person.
And he'd need to go in with either Sinn Féin or Fianna Fáil. The numbers are such that he'd have to go with one or the other. Who would you rather see him go in with?
Well, my favourite is Sinn Féin. For I can't Sinn Féin, I'd have.
I used to vote for Fianna Fáil consistently, and last two, three elections, it's been Sinn Féin. Because I think that there has to be change. When Sinn Féin say they're going to get to sort the housing problem, sort, it's not going to be easy, but I think they'll give it a bloody better go than the rest of them. And on the left side with the Greens, no Fianna Fáil, no Fine Gael.
So Sinn Féin were on and they said the numbers are such that we're going to need either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. Would you have any preference for which one they should go with or why?
Fianna Fáil, I think, because they have a little bit more to prove than most.
It's looking like it might be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. Right. Is that something you'd feel okay about, what bad about? How would you?
Yeah, I'd feel okay, but I'd feel sorry for the Greens. I was a former Labour supporter and I saw how mangled they got. I would be of left persuasion, but I'm scared of the Ord Cóla.
Is it the Sinn Féin Ord Cóla you'd be afraid of?
Yes, but the other downside to that is if the three of those go in together, Sinn Féin will be mighty in opposition, and they would also say the democratic decision wasn't respected, and then there may be more destruction in the next election with Brexit discussions coming up. And I mean that is clouding my judgment too. I think, having fairness to Helen McEntee and Leo Varadkar, they did a very good job. And I, with the other side, the way now number 10 is turning out now, reneging and everything, I would be scared.
Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green Coalition. Is that what people voted for?
Yeah, I don't think that is what people voted for. I think they want to see a Sinn Féin and like other left party kind of coalition.
Except that the numbers aren't there for that. So what should they do in that situation?
Well, I think like a Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, Green Coalition would be more closer to what I think people wanted. I don't think people wanted Fine Gael in government at all.
Who would you like to see in government?
Anybody but Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
There you go.
But love the way you end that. That was just random, was it?
Is it a random way to cut that clip?
Is it strange,
I wonder, Helen McEntee, given that we've had Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach, when somebody proposed there, given that we know the result now as Leo Varadkar for Taoiseach, that it had a kind of a Gilmore for Taoiseach ring to it, didn't it, at this stage?
Well, look, I think what that Vox Pop clearly shows you is that there's such a mixed bag of views out there, and that's clearly reflected in the election that we've just had. The fact that there is essentially three seats between the three largest parties. At the same time, you know, I accept people have voted for something different. They have voted for change. And again, I've heard this mantra for the past 4 years, people want change. But I have to go back to the fact that after 4 days, the parties that have advocated for this change for so long have simply said it's not possible,
okay,
we're not
so
going
that's
to do
why,
it.
That's why
but
for
also
the next
to
couple
look
of minutes,
at the
if you don't mind, for the next couple of minutes, I want to put the focus on some type of a deal between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, if that were to happen. You personally, you've been a Minister for State for European Affairs. You know the lie of the land and how the big beasts in Ireland and yourself in Fine Gael think. Would you be willing to do a deal at this stage with Fianna Fáil?
That's something that hasn't come up yet, because we simply haven't even met as a parliamentary party.
You personally,
but no, I can't answer that because we haven't met. But yes, I have said, and my colleagues have said.
What's in your own head?
We have said that we would speak to anybody but Sinn Féin. That hasn't changed. However,
and what's
I do
your price?
Fully. But no, I don't have any price because I haven't met with my colleagues to talk about where we go next.
Forget your colleagues. It's just Helen McEntee in the room here, and you're the only person I care about. So what do you think? Would you demand that Leo Varadkar be a Taoiseach on a rotation basis?
Again, this is a hypothetical question. So no, until we're in that position, until I speak to my colleagues, and until I think the left parties and those who have advocated and demanded this change, and we're being told that this is what people have voted for, until they have spent longer than 4 days trying, I do not think Fine Gael, who has come third in this election, essentially, is in a position to turn around and demand Taoiseach, a ministry,
anything else.
I don't think we're in a position to do that, and we won't.
In fairness to Sinn Féin and the parties on the left, they don't have the figures without Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. And you seem to be pushing them into the arms of Fianna Fáil.
I don't accept that. If you look at Sinn Féin, Labour, Greens, People Before Profit, Independents, you look at all of those people who have essentially voted with Sinn Féin for the past 4 years.
How can they not sit down after four days?
Well, there's 87 non-Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael TDs, but there are about a dozen of them who are sort of old gene pool Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, Michael Lowry, Matthew McGrady, Healy Rays, etc. And there's others, Michael Collins, and these rural independents have a certain different view of the world. But I would ask why Fine Gael haven't met in a week. I mean, it seems a bit odd to say, to put it mildly. I mean, we were told during the election campaign that Brexit was such an existential crisis to the state that, you know, where we couldn't change and we had to move on. And yet we're a week from the voting and haven't made it. I find it quite
It's a long old half-time break, isn't it, Helen?
Well, we're meeting on Monday. We've allowed, like Helen, 10 days after the election. We have allowed other parties who, as I've said, have essentially come first in terms of the popular vote, but also in terms of the number of seats. We have allowed them to be at the fore this week because we haven't won this election and we're not trying to take anything away from those parties who
have. Nobody has won this election.
Well, we're being told that people have voted for change.
What about your responsibility?
We have a responsibility. I will attend the European Council next week, as will Leo Varadkar. The following week, I'll attend the General Affairs, where we'll discuss Brexit with Michel Barnier. I'm not walking away from any responsibility here.
It's over a week since people voted. You haven't met. When are you going to meet?
We're meeting next on Monday. Monday at 2 o'clock.
And you have no idea from talking to your colleagues how what price you'll demand of Fianna Fáil. And you have no idea what Sinn Féin will propose in a negotiation with Fine Gael because you haven't sat down with them. Isn't it crazy, really, given that we're all on 22, 23, 24%?
I don't accept that, no. We have been told for the past week, and again, it's been advocated for the past 4 years, that people want change, that this is an election for change.
Can I ask you a straight question, Dara O'Brien, if Fianna Fáil? A rotational Taoiseach, is that on the cards for Fianna Fáil?
No, it is actually far too early, and we have met, okay, and we've been engaging since pretty much the weekend of the election itself. And I do think, like, firstly, we have a responsibility to try to bring about a change of government and to put together a programme that will deliver for people. So none of those negotiations have started. That we'll be appointing a negotiation team early next week. There have been initial discussions with the Social Democrats. For the record as well, by the way, my party leader did speak with Mary Lou MacDonald by phone yesterday, as has been reported as well. So,
and she's going to write him a letter.
Well, that's good.
Will he respond?
I'm sure we'll always respond to letters. But it does see a big change from Sinn Féin from 2 days previously. We were the last people that would ever, want to go into government. No, Fáil made a one. And then after that, then they come back and say, well, we're writing to you. We do want to talk to you and you must do this. What we will do, though, our party's made a decision is to try to, I think, where I would agree with other colleagues and other parties, to put together a policy agenda. Mm. This can't just be about numbers and being...
Policy is very important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So here's the question.
Would you want to deliver change? You've been critical of Fine Gael in terms of health and housing.
Yes, sure.
Would you demand those portfolios?
We'd demand nothing before any negotiations happen. What I would say to you, though, is I think for whatever happens...
In the next
6 to 7 weeks. It's above my pay grade to make demands now.
You've been critical of them though for not delivering.
Sorry, Cormac.
Would you hand it back?
I know. Sometimes there's a feeling that RTE might want to drive an agenda there, but I'm not going to do negotiations.
I don't mean it that way.
I'm saying to you is, at a radio show, we're not going to be able to start putting down demands on other parties that we haven't even met yet. That's a straight up question. But no, I believe our housing plan is robust. It's costed and is deliverable.
And you want to be minister?
I would love to be
minister of housing.
Absolutely.
So you're demanding housing. You see what I mean?
I knew you'd do that. That's what I'm talking about. You got very sensitive.
No, that is not what I'm saying.
But what I am saying is, being serious for a moment.
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, if you stopped and let me answer, you might know. It's really important that whatever happens over the next few weeks, that policy is put to the centre. It can't just be about adding up and getting up to 80 seats. It's got to be an agreed agenda that can be delivered by a new government over a 4 or 5 year period.
Gary.
But people want urgent action in the areas of health and housing.
Not a new government. That's what we've just had for four years. Let's be very clear about that. I would love to know about Sinn Féin's discussions. We've had 4 years of Fianna Fáil in together, and that has effectively.
Excuse me, Louise. We haven't been ministers in
supply.
Well, we haven't had executive power. You know that.
What you're doing? What you did
by your abstention and by your facilitation was you ensured that the Fine Gael government
political stability
remained
whilst we're going through the Brexit process.
Power. Okay, and there wasn't very much. There wasn't very much stability for the people who were on the housing list. There's not very much stability for people living in emergency accommodation. There's not very much stability for people who are left overnight on trolleys.
What was the alternative?
So, I mean, what you were delivering effectively was a Fine Gael government supported by Fianna Fáil. So what we're talking about now is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in together. Derek, will you stop interrupting me, please? What we're talking about now is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael going back in together, and I do not believe that that is what people voted
you're right.
for.
You want to put Micheál Martin in a seat.
We want to do is we want to open up discussions on policy and on delivery.
Which would
we
lead
want
to Micheál
start
Martin
to build homes. We want to ensure that we fix the problems in our health services, and we have said, and we have been consistent about this, that we will talk to all parties in relation to that. So we haven't concluded our discussions. We haven't thrown any towels in, Helen. You can relax on that count. We haven't concluded discussions with any party. What we have done is we have said we will be open, we will discuss with any and all party, but what we want to do is we want to deliver for people in terms of housing, pension age, health. We have an agenda.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that a red line?
And we have said nobody has set down any red lines, Cormac. This time last week people were still voting. But yes, we believe
you,
and
you know what's in your own head going into a negotiation.
Polls have shown consistently that there is an appetite for a discussion on a united Ireland, and we believe that yes, now is the time to start to plan for that. We need to have a citizens' assembly on a united Ireland. We need to have the joint all party Oireachtas committee to plan for Irish unity.
Would Sinn Féin want the ministry for housing?
We haven't got down to discussing
that. You know.
But I can tell you, I'll tell you this much, okay? When I knocked on doors, people told me they wanted the current minister for housing out and they would like to see Eoin O'Brien in housing.
Okay.
So do you want
the ministry for health? These are the key
housing.
Areas out.
No.
Health.
Cormac, I am not negotiating this with you over the airwaves. I would be foolish to so do. But we have set out.
You know what's foolish of all parties, in my own opinion?
We have set out our stall, and people know exactly where we stand. But we're not going to jump 50 steps ahead of the process. What we are going to do is let people know that we are interested in having those discussions, into getting into negotiations and delivering for people.
You have all been in this studio, all parties and various candidates saying, look, we have the best ideas for health and we can best implement the ideas. Now you're saying, look, I'm non-committal.
You're asking us to put demands down before any of us have even negotiated.
Your party should have the Ministry for Health or Housing?
We believe that we need to put policies in place and legislation in place to deliver on Sláintecare. We have set out our stall and we are very pleased with the result of this election. Of course we are. We have done very well. But what it has left us with is a conundrum in terms of government formation. So Sinn Féin wants to be at the table. We want to negotiate a programme for government that delivers for people. We want to negotiate a programme for government that delivers on the change that people voted for, and that change
can't get that change with Fianna Fáil
in government.
Can I ask, if you have advocated for that change, why then you only ran 44 candidates? Yes, you can say that your opinion polls were low, that you were low at the local elections last year, but we could see a change happening just before the election.
Well, Helen,
we saw
can
a change
I ask
happening
you why you ran so many
beginning.
Candidates and left so many people disappointed? I mean, clearly we didn't, you know, before you go into
we
an
ran
election,
candidates because
before
we wanted
you go
to be
into
in government,
an election,
we
yes,
wanted
and you got
to
your
govern.
Answer from the people. Before we went into the election, what we did was we set out our stall, we put together our
and
policies
together
and we
so
selected,
that you
we selected
be in
our candidates.
What
we didn't
this?
Deliberately select
what
candidates
you're
not to be in government. That's a very silly thing to say, Helen.
A listener says, have another election and let Sinn Féin get their majority. Governing will send them swiftly over the cliff and that will be the end of... Now, whatever the end of that, is Sinn Féin playing for a second election here?
We're not playing for... Well, I'm going to tell you, we're not playing at all. Okay, so this is what the grown-ups have to do now, is to talk to each other and come together and form a policy platform. So that there's no playing involved in this at all. Okay, what we are doing is we are deadly serious about negotiating a programme for government that delivers for ordinary people, given the numbers that we have.
And what's going to be in the letter from Mary Lou to Micheál Martin?
I don't write Mary Lou's letters. I don't know what will be in the letter. I know they had a cordial discussion yesterday and they agreed that they would set out their substantive positions in writing to each other. That is my
frustrated Gary Murphy wants
well,
to get
no, it's, I mean, it's all this talk of a second election and Sinn Féin get their majority and whatever. It's just like, it's kind of fantasy stuff in many ways. We've had an election. This is what the people have given us in the system we have. Would a new election in 2 months' time make any difference? Probably not. Would Sinn Féin get an extra seat? We think we would, but I think I was in your studio late last year predicting, you know, that Sinn Féin, a great day for Sinn Féin would be to hold what they have, given what the polls were telling us. And we saw this huge surge. Certainly part of it was leadership. I'm convinced of that. And I think Mary Lou ran a barnstorming campaign, aided and abetted by Louise, Owen O'Brien, and not too many others, as there was no other real Sinn Féin spokespeople on the thing. When you saw Owen O'Brien talking on the climate change and David Cullinan, the spokesperson, not on it, on Claire Byrne's show on the Monday before the vote, you knew something was up. So in that context, I just this talk, and I blame Micheál Martin for bringing it first during the 6-1 news.
But it's in the offing. You said it yourself. If they all hold their positions,
indeed, but they have to change. This is what the point. This is the point.
What's going to make them change?
Charles Haughey changed in 1989. You know, when and Des O'Malley, when Fianna Fáil and the PDs coalesced.
Yeah. So no, what
one, no one could have dreamed of that.
What caused from an
John
entrenched
Bruton
position?
Changed when he couldn't get into government. Do you remember he said under no circumstances after the 92 election would he go with Democratic Left. After the Albert Reynolds government with Labour collapsed, he was in like
to
a
paraphrase shot. Gary, I know John Bruton and Dara O'Brien is no John Bruton. I can't see how this man is going
to
go.
I don't know
John Bruton either.
But
Gary, how can they change? Is it just a pressure and time and more people getting on to the TDs?
I think it probably is, you know, and I think it is. And, you know, if there was a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael third wheel, you know, which only had just over 50%, if that's the numbers, that's the number. There's a tyranny in the seats that they have. But I think it would be even better politics, I think, for both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil at least to sit down with Sinn Féin, you know, over a table and even come out after 3 hours and say, under no circumstances, just won't work.
Okay, surely if the democratic system doesn't work and the government can't be formed, then people can make their voices heard again at the ballot box, says a texter. Much to the dismay of Gary Murphy. Rory says, did no ordinary people vote for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael?
Of course they did.
There is no hierarchy of voters. Mick Barry doesn't accept the right of the 40% to have their views respected. I think we were closer to a deal before the last break. We're further away now. Let's take one more break and see how we get on.
Email saturday@rte.ie. Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Brigade Fáil to Ashen with Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Louise O'Reilly Sinn Féin, Helen McIntyre Fine Gael, Mick Barry, Solidarity and Socialist TD, and Gary Murphy, a frustrated professor of politics at DCU. I hope they didn't hear my jibe about Gilmore for Taoiseach, because I'm joined now by Senator Kevin Humphreys of Labour, who's in a room, a smoky room, trying to figure out who the next Labour leader will be. Kevin Humphreys, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac, and I don't think smoky rooms are no longer allowed.
Come here to me. Who's in the race?
Well, there's nobody in the race at the moment. Our national executive finished at 1 o'clock, and we've opened up the leadership competition up to all parliamentary party members. So what we'll see now is that we're open for nominations from today, the 15th, and the close for nominations will be the 21st of February in the first instance. And then from our consistency councils across the country, it'll be open from the 21st to the 28th, and then polling day and ballots will be counted.
So is it likely to be what the reports say, Alan Kelly, Éan Oireachtain and Jed Nash?
Well, I think there's a number of my colleagues considering whether they will run or not over the weekend. I think we're very fortunate that we have such talent and depth that would consider in running for leadership. But I think it will be a contest. I very much welcome a contest for the leadership of the party. And that will take place over coming weeks.
So is Duncan Smith, the newcomer, the new kid on the block in the north of Dublin, is he likely to throw his hat in the ring?
I believe he's considering it. I've seen the reports in the media like yourself that he's considering it over the weekend and taking soundings. So I think there's four candidates there that have said one has declared his interest and the other three are considering their positions over the weekend.
How does Labour redefine itself? How does it make itself relevant to a crowded field on the left, given the crowded field on the left to a population that seems to be looking for something?
Well, I think during the election what we wanted to do and our campaign and our manifesto was to build hope, fix health and make pay work. We didn't get a mandate to go into government through that period. We hadn't a good election. So we're in a stage now where we have to go back and rebuild and reconnect with our support base. And
But it's a crowded old field, Kevin. I've just been passed a love note by Mick Barry. Do you want me to read it? It is Valentine's Day.
Valentine's was over.
That's the first time you've ever said that.
Do you want to say what it is, Mick? Just tell me yourself.
Yeah, I was making the point that many moons ago, I was a member of the Labour Party when it was a working class party. I was expelled with other socialists like Joe Higgins, Ruth Coppinger, Claire Daly and others. And the point that I want to make here is that the three candidates who are standing, although they've different characteristics and different age profiles and so on, essentially represent the same old, same old. They represent the Labour Party, which stood alongside Fine Gael and implemented the austerity and the water charges in 2011, 2016.
You weren't expelled for not accepting the will of the majority within the party, were you?
Not at all. I used to argue.
Joke. But okay, but you make a very important point, Kevin Humphreys.
You're expelled for operating for a party within a party, not taking in relation to the national rules.
Can I ask you, Kevin Humphreys? Mick Barry makes a very important point in terms of your politics. You have the surge of Sinn Féin. You have a plethora of more left-leaning TDs to the left of Labour. So how in the name of God do you make space for yourselves?
Well, I believe we're... And going back to Mick's first original point is I'm from a working-class background, and I think most of the candidates are all from working-class backgrounds. So to say that, you know, Mick is the only person that understands the working class, I would very much disagree, because I'm very much of that class. That's my record. But I think we will be relevant, and I think the issues are what we identified for the general election. There was a surge. We got that surge twice before, and it disappeared. So to say that it will always be with Sinn Féin is probably not true.
Okay.
And we will reconnect. I have absolutely no doubt leader will do that.
Can I ask you before I let you go, this decision by Brendan Howlin, in consultation with the parliamentary party, I accept that, not to enter a coalition, given how brittle things and how volatile things are, do you think the new leader should make that decision?
Well, that decision is now being made by the Central Council. That's a recommendation from Brendan Howlin to the Central Council, to not that we didn't receive a mandate to participate in government, and that the Labour Party will seek discussions with all other parties. And as we speak, that has been now discussed at our Central Council. So I'm not going to preempt a decision by the Central Council.
Is it a recommendation or a decision?
It's a recommendation to the Central Council.
Okay. Gary,
and that decision hasn't been made yet.
Gary Murphy, do you have any advice for Labour before Kevin Humphreys goes back to the smoky room?
Not particularly, but I mean, I just warn of changing parties, changing leaders too often. Labour got rid of Eamon Gilmore in 2014 after their terrible local and European election results, only 3 years after he had led them to 37 seats. And then they went for Brendan Holland, and now they're searching again, including my former student, Duncan Smith. Helen is another former student of mine. I have students from all across the spectrum.
You've taught all the greats.
But indeed, if I could only be great myself. But I think one of the issues clearly for Labour is that it's been swamped on the left by both by Sinn Féin and the... If Mick forgives me, the hard left of people before profit, so solidarity stroke rise, and it's very difficult now to see it having a robust future. On the numbers, I got it to weekend.
Kevin, I was going to let you go, but Louise O'Reilly has a Valentine's message for you.
No, just simply to say it beggars belief that at a time when the left was surging, that there was no benefit that came to the Labour Party, and I think that is one of the things they're going to have to reflect on, and also the fact that on those numbers it appears that 66% of their parliamentary party are now running for the leadership, which it seems a little bit unusual.
Well, that shows, Louise, the strength and character of the people that are in the parliamentary party, that we have actually four people that would actually put their names forward as leader and has the talent to do that.
Okay. Kevin Humphreys, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I know you're very busy today. We have a couple of minutes left. We haven't sorted the coalition. We might, before we finish the programme, the next 2 or 3 minutes, sort out the role of Taoiseach. Who'll be the best Taoiseach, Gary?
Thanks for that question. Well, I did a fantasy cabinet in last Sunday's mail in a kind of a national government, and I had given it just to Micheál Martin on the strength of the numbers. And I think he would actually make a good Taoiseach, because he does have certain consensual skills. But having said that, I think Mary Lou MacDonald has clearly got the appetite for change. And, you know, she has carved out a leadership position in Sinn Féin, which was overwhelmingly male, and has brought them to this great achievement. I think Leo Varadkar has had his turn. It didn't work out, and I can see no circumstances where he could become Taoiseach, because Fine Gael, and I'm sure Helen will echo this, will not go into government as a minority partner to Sinn Féin, whatever about any other coalition. I just think that's not under the cards. But I think it's between one or the other.
It would be a very different premiership, wouldn't it, if it's a Micheál Martin or a Mary Lou MacDonald?
Sure. I think Mary Lou MacDonald would make a fantastic Taoiseach. I'm sure nobody listening, or indeed the studio, is going to be shocked at that. I think it would be very good for this state if we were to have a Taoiseach, a female Taoiseach. I think, you know, that time, and I think we haven't had time to reflect on it here, but unfortunately we have seen, I think, a small decline in the number of women elected, and if it wasn't for the numbers, actually the large numbers of Sinn Féin women elected, I think we would be looking at the makeup of the Dáil that wouldn't reflect very well, and certainly wouldn't reflect the makeup of society.
I know, Micheál, no one will be surprised. Obviously, I think you'd make an excellent Taoiseach, but I think this time in particular it's going to be about how you can build consensus in a fragmented Dáil as well to tackle some of the very serious issues that we all know about and we've discussed on health and housing and climate action, what happens next with Brexit. So we need someone with experience, but I like Micheál, and also someone who can actually build consensus and agreement and isn't confrontational, can actually bring people along with them. And the next few weeks are going to be very interesting in that regard. And that's what I think, in fairness, what this process will be about, is people sitting down, talking. Compromise will be needed. But all of us have to have the will of the people at the forefront, and how we're going to deal with those big issues that I've mentioned. And that's what's going to come about over the next couple of weeks. So I earnestly hope that Micheál is the Taoiseach at the end of this process.
Mick Barry.
Yeah, we have a vote for Taoiseach next Thursday at noon. I will be voting against the Fianna Fáil nominee, who I presume will be Micheál Martin. I'll be voting against the Fine Gael nominee, Leo Varadkar. I would say that if Mary Lou MacDonald wants my vote, she would increase her chances if she was to come out clearly within the next week and rule out the idea of using the change vote, which she benefited from, to do a deal with Fianna Fáil. Because Fianna Fáil will block real change.
Point. Helen, finally.
Well, I don't think it'll come to any surprise to anyone here that I think Leo Varadkar has been an excellent Taoiseach, and I think he would continue to make an excellent Taoiseach.
Rotating.
But I think I need to press this, because I probably didn't say it earlier. We have never shied away, nor will we ever shy away from our responsibilities if and when we're needed. But I think we're realistic and clear, and if opposition is where we need to be, then that's where we'll be. No, but we need to make sure that what the country needs is stability, and that we play our part in
finally this. No matter what they say, Gary, we won't have a Taoiseach on Thursday, will we?
Certainly not, and I think it'll take 72 days the last time, and I think we're heading for a new record.
I must say I have to put my hands up here. I have completely and utterly failed in the hour to deliver government for the country, and I apologise for that. But we'll Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin, Helen McInerney Fine Gael, Mick Barry, Solidarity and Socialist TD, and Gary Murphy of DCU. Good ye and chat in Shahungan, where we'll have a rerun or something similar again, I would say. Sonic is Bannacht.